Well, I think most of you have probably taken your Christmas decorations down by now. And you might wonder, what's wrong with St. Peter's? Like, don't they know Christmas is perhaps over? But that's the point, it's not. That today is the end of the Christmas season. And as I was reflecting on this, it struck me that there are five festivals or solemnities that we celebrate from the 25th of December through to this day. Of course, the Nativity, the Holy Family, Mary, Mother of God, Epiphany, and then today, the baptism of the Lord. And what we see with each of these different celebrations is how Jesus' ministry expands more and more, beginning with his birth in the Bethlehem manger, the most intimate of gatherings, through to our recognizing the reality of this family that is particularly holy, the three of them. And then we think of Our Lady, the Mother of God, and the role that she played through our Lord's life as the one who truly nurtured and formed and guided him as he continued to grow. And then the expansion of our Lord's ministry as the men from the East come and they worship him. And then today, Jesus is now a man of 30. And he is about to begin his public ministry. And what we see Jesus doing today is being willing to be baptized in the Jordan River is his way of saying he identifies with us in the most profound and significant of ways. And so this is, in a sense, the launching pad for the beginning of our Lord's public ministry, which on Monday, as we begin ordinary time, this is what we will begin to focus on throughout the weeks of ordinary time. And so today it's important that we can celebrate the feast of our Lord's baptism because it helps us to truly identify with God. Now here's what I want you to think about. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that we are made in the image of God and that we are beloved by God, but we are not referred to as his sons and daughters. We are creatures, but creatures of a most special and particular kind. But here's the thing that we think about. In Genesis, we celebrate how we are made in the image of God and in a particular way are in relationship to God. But in the Nativity, we celebrate that God is made in our image. God is made in our image so that we can share in his divinity. And so when we think about baptism, when we think about our baptism, I did two of them this afternoon for little girls, lovely little babies, and it was such a gift to celebrate their baptisms today. But we have to understand that for Catholics, our baptism is when we become children of God. Before our baptism, we are beloved creatures. Now think with me for a moment about Pinocchio and Geppetto. Pinocchio is a marionette, and Geppetto creates Pinocchio with great care, detail, and love, and Pinocchio can walk, and he can talk, and he can move, but he's a creature. He's not Geppetto's son. And as the story develops, we see Pinocchio getting into all sorts of hot water, and when we get to the end of the story, something happens to Pinocchio. He moves from being a creature of the creator Geppetto to being the son of Geppetto. And that's how we need to understand the reality of our baptism. For in our baptism, we are celebrating this great truth. And you need to appreciate this, that when it comes to world religions, no other world religion teaches this. That God is our Father, and we are his, not beloved creatures, but his beloved sons and daughters. And so today we want to think a little bit more about the significance of what does it mean to be sons and daughters of God. In the collect that we prayed at the beginning of the Mass, it was put this way. As the Holy Spirit descended upon him and solemnly declared him your beloved son, Grant that your children by adoption, that's us. We're all adopted kids, but we've been adopted into the family of God. So as the colic then goes on to say, that as those who are your adopted children, reborn of water and the Holy Spirit, we may live lives that are pleasing to you. Now, how do we live lives that are pleasing to God? And there are three things that I want to mention. I know there are a couple of people here who were confirmed by me back in the fall, and you've heard something of this homily before, but I've never given it on a Sunday. And so part of the reality of what it means to know that we are children of God means that we discover three things about who we are: that we belong, what we believe, and how we behave. That we belong, that there's a certain way we believe, and then there's a way we grow in terms of how we are behaving. Now, I think a lot of people think that the Catholic Church has it the other way around. Make sure you behave right, believe the right things, and then maybe you can belong. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is, I want you to know you belong, and then I want you to come to see more and more what it means to belong by what you believe. And then over time, as your belonging and believing is touching your life, it's going to affect the way you behave. And this is what we see at play in today's gospel and other readings. We're told at the beginning of today's gospel that John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, again, we might look at that and say, oh man, that means I guess we're all really, really bad and we better be really, really good, right? That's not what it means. What it means is the following. Repentance, as I've said before, has to do with a change of mind, seeing the world in a different way. And part of what John's message was seeing the way in which God wants to touch your lives as your Father. Get out of your head that he is a judgmental God who is wanting to send you to hell, that he is a God who is always pointing his finger and never happy at you or with you. Rather, he is the God who desires for us to come to know in a profound and infinite way that we can share in his divine nature. And here's the point of the baptism. Jesus so wants us to share in his divine nature that he does share in our sinful nature. And to say that we have a sinful nature means the following: that every single one of us experience what it is to encounter the oppression of the devil. Because the thing that the devil always wants to do from the very beginning of the Bible is to doubt God's true purpose and for us to doubt our true identity. And so repeatedly the devil says the following: did God really say? Did God really say? Now in our reading from Acts, St. Peter describes the work of Jesus this way. He says, it's a summary statement, that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Who's that? That's everyone. Now you might read that and think, but wait a second. Like, for these people, did Jesus just pray for them and then their oppression was gone for good? I mean, you can maybe read it that way, but it doesn't make sense in the New Testament because we've got all these letters by the different apostles that talk about the challenges of trying to grow and understanding what it is to live a life where we belong to God. And the thing that God always wants us to understand is the following: that this oppression that we experience is this temptation that comes from the outside, that it weighs heavily upon us. And that's part of what I think is going on with John and his baptism, that people were so weighed down by the sense of oppression that he wanted to invite them to a new freedom. And so in the baptism in the Jordan River, he is saying, I don't want you to continue damaging yourselves. I don't want you to continue damaging others. Make yourselves available and open to the Holy Spirit so that you can discover more and more what it means to say that you truly are a son and daughter of God. But here's the thing about this oppression. In the baptismal liturgy, one of the things we ask the parents and the godparents is, do you renounce the glamour of evil? The glamour of evil. Because evil is very glamorous. It's very attractive to think we'll actually be better off if we can live our life completely devoid of God, cut off from him, kind of like what Pinocchio does when he runs away from Geppetto. But the glamour of evil always diminishes our true identity. And the thing that we're all invited to discover more and more in our life as Catholic Christians is that although you were maybe baptized as a baby, that now in your life you can discover more and more that I truly belong to God. But not only do we belong to God, we belong to God in a certain way. Listen again to what the Father says to the Son in that beautiful statement. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Three statements. You're my Son. The third statement, with you I'm well pleased. But what's the one in the middle? What's the filling of the sandwich? You are my Beloved. And think about this. Psychologists agree how important it is for people to know true words of affirmation. Not empty compliments, but heartfelt words of love and appreciation. Such words can help us to know that the person speaking to us respects and honors us. Affirmation like these kinds of words can improve our relationships with others and solidify our commitment to them. And so here, right at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, is this word of affirmation from the Father. And indeed, as we think about this in our own life, it's the same thing that we desire, to know that we are truly loved, to know that we truly are sons and daughters, and that God is well pleased with us. And as we come to a deepening recognition of this place of belonging in our hearts, it in turn allows us to grow in how and what we believe. Again, in that reading from Acts, St. Peter says really a very general statement. He says that Jesus is the Lord of all. And that is true. And the thing about living our lives as a Christian is that we discover more and more, what does this mean? What does it mean to believe this truth, that Jesus is the Lord of all? There's something in that statement that I referred to before, that you are my Son and with you I am well pleased, that is an example of this. Those words, you are my Son, is an indirect quotation from Psalm number 2. What is Psalm number 2? It is the psalm where God says of Jesus, you are my Son, today I have begotten you, you are the Messiah. And so that's the first part of what we see in this statement. But then when we hear the words, and with you I am well pleased, this is a quotation from today's reading from Isaiah chapter 42. And there it's quoted this way, the one in whom my soul delights. And the one who's being referred to in Isaiah is the servant of God. And so what this statement that we hear here truly means is that Jesus is the servant who is the Messiah. And the thing about our Catholic life is the following. We are invited to continue to grow in an understanding of why do we believe what we believe. And as we grow in knowing that we belong, as we grow in this belief and understanding, it in turn affects the way in which we behave. Now listen again to this part of our first reading that has some beautiful, I think, reflections on how we are to live as Catholic Christians. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Oh, believing and behaving. You see, the church is that community where we are seeking to grow in living with this kind of compassion, this kind of genuine gentleness, where not only do we want to do the right thing, but we want to work with God in bringing about his righteous purposes. For that's how the reading ends, and I'll quote it. I am the Lord who has called you in righteousness. That is to share in my righteous life is what it means. I've taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. So often in the church, when we don't embody this kind of life, it leads people to question and to reject us, and understandably so. But the more we discover what it is to belong, the more we grow in what it is to truly believe in Christ, the more we can pattern our lives by the way we live, that we embody in our very character, like Jesus, those who are willing to identify with a hurting and broken world. And so let me end my homily with this simple application. How can you live this week in such a way that you can be that voice of affirmation to another? How can you live in such a way that you can be alert and looking for opportunities, especially unexpected ones, to point out something that you appreciate in another? Maybe it's their patient response to an unkind sibling, an act of generosity and kindness. Tell them that you're glad that they are your brother and or your sister in Christ. And by doing so, we share in this ministry of Christ to know what it is to share in his divine nature as we discover what it is to belong to him, to believe in him, and to seek to behave like him.